Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-travelled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting...
All right, well, I completely screwed up that intro. I'm 4 minutes late. This has turned into one of those days, ladies and gentlemen, I am feeling that I am doomed to be stuck in. But regardless of that, I'm the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon, back for Season 5, Episode 9 of The Hollywood Connection. As you see, I completely forgot to upload the Hollywood Connection intro. My computer crashed, all this other fun stuff. I believe our special guest is here, been waiting 4 minutes and 7 seconds. That's crazy. That's dedication right there. You're on the line.
Hey, what's up?
Waco O'Gwen. What's going
on,
man?
Me. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good. So how many times do you get, like, wacko or guinea or guinea? Or, you know, how many times a day does someone...
I can't believe you got it right. How'd you do that?
I do my research, sir. Well, my name's
Ian. I'd say
at
least 80% of the time.
I was
going to
say, my name's Ian.
Up.
Ian Boothby. And I can't tell you how many times I've got, like, Ethan, Bocci,
yeah.
And just... It gets worse and worse, you know, the more I have to call Pakistan to get my phone set up because we sold them our services. But away from me, how are you, sir? Big honor talking to you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm just trying to promote this show, you know, get people to watch it. Praying
yeah,
for a second
tell us,
season.
You know, before we go backwards, let's start currently and talk about Paradise PD, because I think I've already went through the whole season twice
cool.
now. That's how
oh,
much,
man, thank
how
you.
Much I love it.
Every time counts.
I mean, getting Tom Kenny back to play the Woody-esque, I might as well say Woody-esque, character of the Chief. And
yeah,
just,
we had to get Tom back. You know, we did have auditions, though.
Go ahead.
We did. We did have auditions. We absolutely, you know, we didn't just hand it to Tom. People came in and auditioned, but you know, Tom was the best again. It's hard to beat Tom Kenny.
And I read that you know, that character. Well, I'm not sure about, you know, as far as this one goes, but if it's as much like Woody, that the Woody character at least was inspired by your uncle. Was that right?
It's actually my father-in-law, my wife's dad. Yeah, he's something else. He was not a fan of mine at first when I first started dating his daughter.
Well,
some,
I don't
some
think
kid
that was
gonna make. Yeah, well, I probably was. Some kid named Waco that was going to make cartoons. If my daughter brought home a guy like me, I wouldn't be happy to either, so I can't really blame him, you know.
But what, you know, where did you guys come up with the concept to do Paradise PD, to do a show that doesn't necessarily look down on cops, it just makes them really goofy and inept at doing their job?
I've got two of my wife's brothers are cops. So I went on a ride-along with one of them one night. And he's basically Gina. He's kind of – we kind of fashioned Gina after him because he's kind of crazy, and he gives me a gun. I'm just a – you know, I'm a citizen just riding in a police car, and he's like, there's a gun under the seat. Grab that. Me and you are about to go clear this crack house over here. So he sends me into a crack house. He's like, you take the back door, I take the front. And I think he was just messing with me because I'm hoping that he knew that nobody was in there. But he definitely had me going, man. I was, like, shaking, and I think that's my last ride-along with him. But it's
wow.
Always, you know, we always try to draw from real life, and a lot of the characters in the shows are based on real people or at least named after real people. So, you know, you got to get out there and live life. That's the best way to come up with insane comedy.
So you're saying that growing up you had a dog named Bullet who was addicted to drugs?
I did. Well, I wasn't addicted to drugs, but I did have a dog named Bullet, and my granddad is John R. Hobson. So.
Oh, wow, that's cool. We've had so many dogs that I could see if I ever made it big naming some character after one of the animals that we had on the farm.
Yep.
And I think Cedric Yarbrough was a great addition as Fitz. He's already hilarious, and putting him into an animated series just seems right.
Yeah, man. You know, a lot of the writing is just sitting around a table with the writers, and just everybody gets tired, or you know, we're having a hard time coming up with an idea. We just say, "Tell us your craziest story, like what's happened to you." So a lot of writing is just sitting around and telling stories and seeing how we can work those into episodes and stuff.
I think drawing off real life experiences, whether you're writing a book for fan fiction of some sort, if you can put in real life things that were just so crazy they have to be true, I think it adds to the story. I think Paradise PD is hilarious. I really hope you guys get 2, 3, 4 more seasons, because I was so upset when Brickleberry was not renewed. So I think Paradise PD has that shot.
Ah, thanks, man. Yeah, we were really bummed out about Brickleberry. We felt like we had at least a few more seasons in us, and it's just a shame how it went down, because it was doing pretty good, and we thought that each season was getting better. But speaking of the real life experiences, the Dungeons and Dragnet, where the church tried to ban D&D, that happened in my hometown and in Rogers too.
Oh, wow.
We're both from the South and from Georgia. Yeah, my mom totally thought it was devil worship and banned me. And I got to play one time when I was a kid. And I had the most fun, and I never got to play it again. So that was those small towns, boy. There's a lot of just stupid things that go on.
Well, you know, you bring up that episode. I like how, you know, when the devil is coming up, and you know, it's actually kind of like Devil Went Down to Georgia, in my opinion, like, you know, the big fiddle battle.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it's great. You know, everything, you know, the whole show is great. I've watched it, you know, I've already went through it twice, so it's awesome.
That's awesome, man. Now, we appreciate everybody out there watching it, and everybody seems to really be liking it, just judging from the feedback on Twitter and everything.
Yeah, you and Roger Black are great. I don't want to miss, you know, I don't want to not name him or anything, because, you know, I'm sure you guys are a power tag team. I mean, I know that, you know, going to my wrestling terminology, but, yeah, I love your guys' work. And, you know, to touch on Brickleberry for a second, you know, why did you guys decide to go with the Park Rangers? And I was curious how the very funny Daniel Tosh got involved.
We, you know, the Park Ranger thing is just, you know, the worst thing when you're out pitching is when you have an idea and you take it around, and the first thing they say when you give them the concept is like, oh, we have something like that. We have something. We heard that so many times, because it's hard to think of anything that hasn't been done or potentially is a pilot that they're working on that you haven't heard of yet. So we were just trying to think what hasn't been done, at least since Yogi Bear and Park Rangers. And plus with my father-in-law being a Park Ranger, that kind of inspired it. But we felt pretty safe taking Brickleberry out, because nobody does shows like that. So in the cop thing, you know, we were very worried that someone was going to come up with a cop show right before this came out or something. Luckily, it didn't. But, you know, and then we sold the pilot to Fox, and we did like a 8-minute pilot presentation, and then when Fox, it was way too dirty for them, they couldn't pick it up, and when we got the permission to shop it to the cable networks, that's when Daniel Tosh came on board, because we had the same agent. So originally Malloy was Scottish. He was not Tosh, he was a Scottish bear. It actually didn't work at all. It didn't make any sense, like, why the hell he was Scottish. He was just this angry, and his personality was completely different. It was more like he was a kind of a terrorist who hated humans and hated that they were in the park, and he was trying to drive them all out. But then when Tosh came on and we all decided that he'd be Malloy, we basically just made Malloy Tosh. We just gave Malloy Tosh's personality, you know, a little self-centered and thinking that he's better than everybody. And it just worked, you know, because it was just him playing himself, basically.
That's awesome. And I know, I just think it was kind of interesting that we ended up landing on today for the interview, and this kind of ties in with Brickleberry, because, you know, Bill Cosby actually getting sentenced today was pretty interesting thing, since you did the impression of him on Brickleberry.
Yeah, I mean, that was so long ago, you know, that was, you know, season three, and we felt like we did it. It felt like it was already a little old by then. So this story has been around for so many years, and, I mean, it is hard to believe that they actually were able to pin that on him and sentence him, you know. I mean, it's just, you think about the Cosby Show, and you never would have thought the dude was going to end up in prison. And it's just what goes on. I'd heard stories about him, and I heard that he wasn't the nicest guy, but good Lord, that's just crazy, man. You just don't know what people get up to. You just don't know.
I really wish I was born somewhere in California, because I've always had a knack for doing impressions of people. People always say, you know, mimicking or making fun of, and I don't like making fun of, but I always did a Bill Cosby. And I think the Bill Cosby can't be making any more fucking commercials from prison.
That's good. That's much better than mine.
Oh, I don't know about that. Wait,
I just say jism and blasm and all that nonsense. Did he even ever do that? Did he ever say jism, blasm? I don't even know where that came from. I can't imagine a grown man would even say blasm, blism.
Well, I end up trailing off like a zoom, 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 just up the band. But I did, you know, I did want to hear some Bobby Possum Todd / you know, meth dealing Paradise BD character mashup.
Yeah, he does sound a lot like Robbie, doesn't he? I did that character live action for years. My brother's nickname was Possum Cods growing up, so that's another name that I stole. I'd say probably a good 80% of the names in either show is someone's name, and a lot of the people are probably not too happy with me. Like, one of my good friends growing up was Malloy, and my best man at my wedding was Dr. Kuzniak. And I actually asked permission, because he's a surgeon, and I was like, we're going to name this character after you. And he's like, okay. And he had no idea that it was going to be, like, a really incompetent, you know, maniac doctor.
In both shows. His ability to be dumb just amazes me for a doctor.
And Roger knew this guy who sold fireworks, and he smoked, and he like, blew a couple limbs off. Dakota, Georgia, that's actually where Firecracker Jim came from, the smoking in the fireworks stand. And we had planned to work him in. Like, we're like, we got to put this guy in, but we just couldn't figure out how to do it until the finale of season one, when they're setting off the fireworks for Woody's party and everything. And then he, you know, I think people really liked the character with him rolling around and everything. We definitely miss those old. We miss those Brickleberry characters. We're really hoping that we can figure out how to bring them back to life somehow.
Oh, and it's complicated. His huge wife was a bit of comedy in itself as well. But, I just love I love everything you guys have done. I mean, even going back to Stankervision, I remember watching that when I shouldn't have been watching that. Like, I was probably way too young to be watching that kind of stuff. But
everybody says that. They're like, I should not have been watching that show when I was, like, 12 or whatever. That was fun.
So,
our first TV show, got to live in New York for about a year produce it. MTV2, they were doing some really cool stuff with us and Wonder Shows back in 2005, and the ratings were pretty good there, too. And they just decided to change direction, the whole network, you know, and they kind of fired all the executives and just started playing music videos. And then, you know, it's, before Netflix came around, it was so hard. We shopped Stankervision. We were trying to sell it or another sketch comedy show, but just if wants sketch comedy that moment, you're not going to sell a sketch show. You know, you got to kind of wait and see what people want. And even now with, like, you know, if you make a show for, like, Adult Swim, if they don't buy it, it's just dead, because Comedy Central doesn't want a show for Adult Swim. They don't want a weird show like that, you know. But the good thing about Netflix is they don't want almost anything. They want everybody on Earth watching Netflix. So any kind of show, they're not gonna say we don't want to do that kind of show. If it seems like a good show, they'll do it, you know. So it's just like, we're really lucky that they're around right now, because it's not like, you know, I don't think HBO would do a Brickleberry Paradise PD type show, because it's too crude, and they want to get awards and, you know, Game of Thrones, whatever, big budget stuff. But then, yeah, that's why we love Netflix so much, and, you know, the freedom and the fact that they don't turn their nose up at any kind of show. They're like, come on, bring it. You know, if people are gonna watch it, we're gonna put it on.
Well, what I like also about Brickleberry and Paradise PD is that it doesn't rely on just curse words. There's a lot of the animated shows that rely on the cursing factor. It's actually funny to watch without having to hear an S and a B and a F and a, all the letters of the alphabet. But, I think the real comedy that you can watch, physical comedy in a cartoon, really brings it home.
Yeah, and if you use that stuff too much, it stops being funny, you know. It's like it kind of loses its shock value anyway. I remember when Howard Stern went to Sirius, he wouldn't let any of his staff curse for like a month. You know, everybody was like, they just can't wait to get on there and curse it. He's like, nope, no cursing. Even though we can, we're not going to do it. So we try to not overuse stuff, you know.
Yeah, you know, it has to be a steady balance. But, you know, as far as I always like to ask people what the future holds, and I know we're all praying for season two, but is anything else that, you know, any fires in the flame that you can discuss? Any books coming out? Are you going to be writing your life story anytime soon? Anything like that?
Yeah, hell no. Nobody wants to read that. I'd like to do more comic books. I mean, we don't have anything planned right now, but I'm assuming if we get picked up, there may be a Paradise comic book coming down the pipe. We haven't even talked to them about it, but I know that's something that Netflix seems to be interested in. It's just doing comic books in general. And hopefully, you know, we finally get to do some, like, merchandise, some real merchandise, because we never really got to do that with Brickleberry. And I know there was a lot of people wanting that Malloy doll that never got made. So we're really hoping that maybe some video games. We don't know what the future might hold if, you know, we get season 2, 3, 4. But Netflix definitely seems more willing to exploit the brand and really trying to, you know, get some cool stuff going. It was complicated with Brickleberry because Fox owned the show, but Comedy Central aired the show. So, you know, if any merch got made, I'm pretty sure Fox got all the money. So Comedy Central was like, why? We're not interested in making merchandise because we don't really get much of the profit if it gets made, you know. It's different with Paradise because Netflix owns it outright 100%. So I think they're going to be more likely to really do some cool stuff with it. But we got a couple more shows on the back burners. Hopefully we don't have to pull them out because hopefully Paradise is going to go for a while. And we're definitely not all that interested in trying to do two shows at once because I think then both shows would probably suffer, you know, unless we would like kind of farm out one of the shows, which we don't want to do that. You know, I know some showrunners and creators do that, but I think we're too controlling to let anybody else, you know, run the show without us.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, you want to keep it the way it is. Why should anything be drastically changed? I mean, if you can do it your way and it'd be this great product like season one has been, like Brickleberry was, I think, you know, staying with that, I don't think there's any issue with that at all.
Yeah, you know, there's no reason to try to crank out too much stuff at once. Just one show at a time is good with us. The only problem with Brickleberry is, like, once we got canceled, it took a little while to get another show going, so that was kind of scary. It took a couple years, you know, between Brickleberry and Paradise. So that sucked. But hopefully we get a nice long run with this one. It seems to be doing really well from what I hear.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy it. I've been reading good things about it, so absolutely. Waco, thank you so much. And before you go, is there any chance you could grace us with a little Robbie?
Yeah, what kind of weird shit do you want me to talk about?
Whatever is on your weird mind, sir. I love it all.
Hey, how you doing up there? I'm just here huffing some leaded gas and seeing shit float in front of my face and dreaming about my girlfriend who happens to be a goat. So I'll see y'all later. I'm going to get over here and get her going. I don't know. I need a script.
That's awesome.
As you can tell, I'm not the king of ad-lib.
Well, it's, I know, but it feels better if it's off the cuff. I mean, I could send you something, and it might sound grainy because I'm no
That's
comedy
true.
Writer like you and Roger are. But you know, thank you, and thank Roger as well because
he would
I
be on.
He had to
fly back to Georgia, but he's sorry he missed it. But maybe next time, maybe for season 2 promotion, we'll get both of us on here.
There you go. I'm up for it. I will definitely spread the word some more because I think it's really an awesome show and, awesome for you. Thumbs up for Netflix and best of luck, Waco. Thanks again for joining us.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Have a great night.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All righty. Well, big thanks to Waco O'Gwen. I feel so bad that I have literally been having the worst luck. I mean, I think there's this special cloud of BS over the farm, and it's driving me batshit crazy. I can't handle it anymore. Thank goodness this is not Cloverleaf Radio today because I had to say shit, and I had to let Waco curse because, of course, when I asked him to talk like Robbie or Bobby Postenkotz, whoever you want to say the character is, but you know what? I've been thinking more and more about this stuff. And since we are officially branching out more with the network this year, finally getting with my friends Josh and Ariana, I told them if anything ever went wrong with our past network, that they could come over to Cloverleaf Radio. And they've extended so much help. They've been dear friends of mine for a while now, my best friends, and I appreciate both of them and everything they've done for us. We are actually going to be back, Cloverleaf Radio is September 26th. Well, that's tomorrow, of course, for any of those who don't have their calendars handy. That's tomorrow, y'all. Actor, TV host, gossip columnist, podcast host. That's right. The Forrest Gump of the podcast. The Forrest Gump of the entertainment scene. This guy's, forget the nickname. I already messed. It's too damn long. AJ Benz is coming back. And, forewarning, this is going to be a mature rating. I'm going to go ahead and put that out there. I will post it before the show as well, but mature rating for AJ Benza because, last time he was on Cloverleaf, I think he kind of held back, to try to adhere to my suggested G rating, and I tell every guest that, but unfortunately some slip up and I don't have the mute button or anything like that, but mature rating for tomorrow's show with AJ Benza. If you don't know who AJ Benza is, he hosted the legendary Mysteries and Scandals on E. Case Closed with AJ Benza. He's been in great films like Rocky Balboa. Currently has a very huge podcast going on. Fame is a Bitch, which you can find just about anywhere. I mean, if you literally Google Fame is a Bitch, I don't even think you'd have to put in podcast. This guy is connected. He even says this. So he says, hey, man, I'm connected. I love AJ Benza. The guy is great. He doesn't hold back. And we're going to be asking him. I want to ask him about Donald Trump and Harvey Weinstein because these are two men. The guy has known very well. Sorry, the dogs are flaking out. That AJ Benza has known very well. He's worked with both of these men. And last time we talked, I think it was late 2016, we talked about President Trump. And now since the Harvey Weinstein scandals went on, I want to ask him about Harvey Weinstein, but I'm actually going to ask him for some good stuff. I want to hear some good stories about Harvey Weinstein. I don't want to hear any dirt. I want to hear the good stuff because AJ has put so much, there's so much you can hear about Harvey Weinstein, Donald Trump, and the rest of scandals in Hollywood currently, and just stories from his past all over his podcast. September 30th, we'll be back after, let's see, 4 days. Former WWF, WCW, and ECW superstar, one half of PG-13, former Nation of Domination member, Iceman Jamie Dundee returns. It's going to be nice talking to him. He has not been on the show since the early starts of Clover Leaf Radio. I think it was like May or June of 2008. So it's been quite a while. We talked to I talked to Bill Dundee, the superstar Bill, about a month or so ago. So it's going to be nice talking to Jamie again. We got some other kettles in the fire. The one I've been wanting to promote, you know, I said I had two big shows. Of course, Waco was the first one. The next one I can't promote yet because this person is very busy at the moment. As I mentioned last time, she has been recurring on a very, very well-known, very famous, very televised television show. So it's going to be a hoot when I can finally promote that. But we hope to see all of you for the mature-rated Cloverleaf Radio tomorrow. Wow. Long day of work. Tomorrow, AJ Benza, mature ratings, people. Big thanks again to Waco O'Gwen. And unfortunately, Jay Parsons had an appointment. She's unable to join us today. But, you know, blessings to Jane. She's always a dear friend, a wonderful co-host. This has been for the last 5 years. And I appreciate her very much. So shout out to her. I'll have to let Waco know that she sent her her well wishes. But thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, have a great night.